We've been speaking about the Word of God and some very familiar passages. And as I thought about the one that we should look at tonight, I thought this is probably one of the most familiar parables in the whole Bible, one of the most familiar passages of the New Testament. And I thought, Lord, help us to approach this tonight with a sense of freshness, seeking to understand what it teaches us. It's important that we don't fall into the trap, not just about this passage, but about other familiar passages. Sometimes we think that we have already all that there is for us to know from it, or we're doing all that we should about just because we know the story or we know the words so well. And so I prayed, Lord, help me to approach this passage with a humble heart and an open, receptive, responsive heart to you. Let there be a freshness about it. This story that Jesus told teaches us about the responsibility that the Word of God lays upon us when we hear it. According to the teaching of Jesus, he told this story. It's a parable of the kingdom. Parables, we're told, this is one definition, parables are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And I believe that certainly fits this one at the beginning of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The parable of the sower. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So we can picture Jesus out a little ways in a boat and projecting his voice to the crowds that were standing on the shore. And perhaps I should read from the NIV this evening. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And we're very fortunate that the disciples were curious about this parable and asked, what did you mean when you were telling that story? And Jesus explained it to them. And we find from this that it is not really the parable of the sower so much as the parable of the soils. The emphasis is on the various types of soil into which the seed was sown. And as Jesus gives the interpretation of the parable, he says that the seed is the Word of God, and the soils are the various spiritual conditions of those who hear the Word of God. But the emphasis is on the soils. And I would just like to read his explanation starting in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So this is Jesus' explanation of the parable, and we see that the emphasis is on the soils. That's where the variation is seen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus says. We know that in the book of Revelation, where the risen, glorified Christ had something to say to his church, there were these letters that were sent out to the churches in Asia Minor with a message for each one of the messengers of the churches. And at the close of each one of those messages, the Lord said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Jesus calls us to listen carefully to what is being said, not to be careless in any way. The Word of God is related to the development of Christian character and Christ-likeness. This is the abundant fruit that is spoken of in the fourth section here. Jesus said, "Sanctify them." Make them like me. Make them holy. Sanctify them, praying for his disciples, through your truth. Your word is truth. Those who come to church in Ridgewood know that I like to read J.C. Ryle, and I sometimes quote what I read of what Bishop Ryle said. He was an Anglican bishop from, many years ago now, in the 1800s. Here's something that he said. This is a good quote. I hope you like it like I do. "Show me the Christian man or woman who has begun to show evidence of being changed into the likeness of Jesus, and I will show you the Christian man or woman who has dug deeply into the Word of God and allowed the Word of God to sink deeply into them." I'm going to read that again. I like J.C. Ryle. He's so clear. "Show me the Christian man or woman who has begun to show evidence of being changed into the likeness of Jesus, and I will show you the Christian man or woman who has dug deeply into the Word of God and allowed the Word of God to sink deeply into them." Now, this is the purpose of God with all of us. His purpose over us, his purpose in choosing us, was to make us like his Son. That is clearly taught to us in God's Word. He is after us being conformed to the image of Jesus. And he changes us as we behold the Lord in his Word. 2 Corinthians 3. We are being changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. God is working to change his people and develop in them Christian character, holiness, and Christ-likeness. And so Jesus draws these pictures for us, four different ways in which we may handle the responsibility of hearing the Word of God. And as you will see, the first three are not good. First one is the response of total rejection. And then the second one of superficial enthusiasm. And the third one we could call half-hearted compromise. And the fourth one, total acceptance, unreserved acceptance. The first type of soil is that which it says is by the wayside. Verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And when he explains this in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This is trodden down, hardened ground, where the seed does not penetrate beneath the surface. Now remember here, or notice here, that there are two actors, two who play a role here, not just the hearer, not just the soil, but the sower who sows the good seed, and then the devil who comes, waiting for an opportunity to snatch it away. And if we're not struck by the significance, the great significance of the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, remember that the devil is. He knows the great effect that the sowing of the seed of the Word in the good soil of hearts of men and women can have. A great and wonderful and lasting effect. Their lives can be changed forever. The devil knows what can happen, and he's determined to do whatever he can do to spoil the work of the seed of God's Word. And we see that right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning. Right in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are there, and they're greatly privileged and blessed, and they have the Word of God. God has given them commandment, and the devil comes, and he wants to snatch it away and put doubt in their hearts, sow seeds of doubt. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? And they chose to believe the lie of the devil instead of the truth of God. And there's a great danger in this kind of carelessness about the hearing of the Word of God, and indifference in our attitude toward the Scripture and its significance and the importance of obedience and God's work in us to make us like Jesus. There's a great danger there. The danger of an unteachable spirit that has the profoundest effects. Think of Adam and Eve and the effects of their sin, but in all of our lives. Now when it says they hear it and they do not understand it, that's not speaking about a mental dullness. I hear something that I can't quite understand yet, but I'm willing to go ahead and understand it. This is a spiritual condition, not an intellectual matter, and therefore it is such a wonderful thing, such an important thing to pray as the Apostle Paul did. Oh, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my understanding. He prayed for the saints in Ephesus, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Or as we have in Psalm 119, oh Lord, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. Satan wants to blind my mind to prevent me from understanding. Having that spiritual understanding. Lord, open my eyes. I think it was in the second period that we got copies of this. Philip showed me that he had copied this bookmark, that this is the original. He said, oh, he tried to give me one, and I opened my Bible to put it in, and he said, oh, you have the original. because my Bible opened to the page where I had this. But this is Martin Luther. Listen to what Martin Luther said about the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures require a humble reader who shows reverence and fear toward the Word of God and constantly says, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And all of us, Christian people, listen, all of us are liable at times to have hardness or coldness of heart. And the Bible tells us that that's a very solemn condition. Let's never be careless. When the Word of God goes forth, let's listen carefully. Let's ask God to give us tender hearts, teachable spirits, so that the devil will not snatch that away. Then the second one, shallowness. Superficial enthusiasm. It says rocky soil. I suppose it means to indicate a thin layer of soil over stone. He says there's no depth and there's no root. Sometimes there is a superficial emotionalism. Some people are stirred easily and they accept things in a very shallow or superficial way. That's the way Jesus explained it. I guess there are other people who also like to weigh things and think about things, and they have an intellectual way. They would never get emotional, but I think the effect can be the same if they just... There's nothing more engaging to the probing mind, I don't suppose, than the truth of the gospel when it's presented and all its different facets and so many things to think about, and the inquiring mind and the intellectual might enjoy this on a certain superficial level, but the result is the same. Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear." These people, because of their shallowness, no depth, no root, they fall away when persecution arises. That's how Jesus explains it here in the 21st verse. Since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Then we have those who are sown, the seed that falls among thorns, thorny soil, these weeds. The man who hears the word, now perhaps he has withstood adversity. Maybe he has been able to survive adversity, but then he can't take the pressure of ease and prosperity and plenty and riches, and so he collapses under that. That's what it seems to indicate here. This third one, the seed falls among thorns. He hears the word, but the worries of this life, all the things that he has to concern himself with, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. In the soil there are rivals to God and his word. There's accommodation, we could call it. And God's people sometimes, or people that call themselves Christians and sit under the ministry of the Word of God, they accommodate God and his word, or they think they can, with all its implications into the lifestyle that they choose. They've already chosen it, and it's no different from the world, with all the priorities of the children of this world. And Jesus says you can't do it. Our God is a God who will not stand for any rivals. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus said the word will be choked in soil like that, where there is accommodation with the things of this life. They become more important than the things of heaven and God's word and God's purpose and God's will for us. There's nothing more important, we said the other night, than knowing the Lord, than knowing Christ and making him known. You shall have no other gods before me. And here they come, then the thorns, the cares, the possessions, the deceitfulness of these desires of riches choke out the word, and they become unfruitful. There is no fruit born to the glory of God. Now the last one, the heart that shows total acceptance, unreserved acceptance of the word of God. It's not only an intellectual grasp, again, that's being spoken of here, but rather it's an understanding. Talks about understanding here again, but it's an understanding of the implications of the call of God and the will of God and the word of God. And this person opens their heart to God's will and everything that God and his word seek to do in him. And there's a crop produced. It says here, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, of course, this is the ground of our hearts, the good soil of our hearts. This is where we want to be when the word of God goes forth. We want to be having good ground, not taken up with the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. God will brook no rivals. And we don't want to have just a shallow enthusiasm, but we want to have a good root. And we don't want to have hardness of heart or coldness, but rather we want to be very careful to receive God's word with this kind of understanding. Lord, make me fruitful. You are wanting to work in me and accomplish your purpose, your loving design over me. But it's interesting, or it's important, I mean to say, to think about it this way too, that it's the seed that's good. The seed is the good seed of the word of God. And it's really nothing if you see an abundant harvest. It's not something in the soil that has produced that fruit, but it is the good seed. Everything that you see coming up was in the seed of the word of God. But the soil was open. The soil was prepared to receive, and glory came to the barrenness. Fruit came where there was none. It was the word of God that produced it. The word of God that is alive and that is powerful. We receive it into our hearts and wonderful things happen. I could look at my friend Robert Costanza over here, who works with Teen Challenge. I bet he could tell us, I'm sure he could tell us, the wonderful things that he has seen, I mean, in relation to transformed lives. People who heard the word of the gospel, their lives were wasted and destroyed by sin. And they heard the word, and that word fell on good ground. They were tender, they were broken, they were ready to receive it with meekness and with faith, and God produced the fruit. Only one thing that made that happen, and that was the living word of the living God, the good seed that was sown into good soil. The sower seems to be the Lord himself, who who gives that seed, and when it falls on that good soil, it's the seed, the good seed of the Word of God that is alive, that is incorruptible. And you know, these wonderful things have happened in us too, because it's not just the Young Men at Teen Challenge, but all of us have been marred and spoiled by our sin. And Jesus comes to change us. And oh, how the Word of God is powerful to produce a glorious result. And the fruit of holiness and Christian character, as we've said, and Christ-likeness. But Jesus charges us here in this lesson. He was speaking to his disciples as he explained this. Yes, there was a multitude there, but he told his disciples, you are the ones, to you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And here's the explanation for you. Be good soil for this good seed. Never be careless about the condition of your heart in relation to the sowing into it of the Word of God, whether it be in public, in the meeting like this, or in private study and devotion. Don't ever be careless. Why? Because this is God's way. I want to drive that home. This is God's way to make something out of you for His glory. This is the way that He works to change us. It's by this seed being implanted in our hearts and the wonderful working of the Holy Spirit as we open our hearts to Him. And so we should pray, oh God, oh Lord, let Your Word prosper in our hearts. Let it have free course. Let it find access. Help us to turn aside from any and every rival. Let us cast aside every reservation. Let us acknowledge that Your Word alone brings us life and light and hope. Let us bow before it. Let us receive it humbly. Lord, give me a teachable spirit. Help me to have ears to hear. Let me welcome the conviction of the Holy Ghost when Your Word goes forth. Don't let my heart be hard or cold. Don't let me have a shallow enthusiasm. But Lord, and don't let me ever compromise and be half-hearted in any way. But let me be wholehearted. And Lord, work in me according to the good pleasure of Your will. Let Your Word do its work in me, Lord. Help me to truly receive it as it is, the Word of the living God, the seed that lives and abides forever, that changes us and makes us all that You want to make out of us, O Lord. Help us to accept this. Help us to learn these lessons. Jesus, You are teaching us something vital. I don't think there's a mistake here, or I think we must understand that there's a reason why this parable came first. This is the very first one of the parables of the kingdom that Jesus, that Jesus taught. It must be that it's basic, that it's foundational, that we need to get it into our hearts. And be good soil. Be good soil at all times, Lord, that this fruit might be born that glorifies You. Now we have time to pray and seek the Lord, bow our hearts before Him, ask Him to write His Word into our hearts, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His Word commands, we sang before. Are we ready? Do we receive the Word with joy and thanksgiving, and ask God to write His own law, His own Word into our hearts, and give us a heart to do, a heart to receive, a heart to obey, a heart to know Him, only to be what He wants me to be. Write your word in my heart, Lord. We have a song in German that says, let me be like that fruitful ground. And this fruit abides. It does. 100-fold. That's tremendous. 100-fold, 60 and 30, whatever, what is sown. What a marvelous miracle that is. God's word is mighty and powerful to produce an abundant harvest in those who are open to his working.